Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now I'm going to end up sitting here wasting what precious little brain power I have left trying to figure out what condiment Kyrie Irving is at this point.
Oh, a little salty, a little sweet?
I was gonna say,
maybe a Sour Patch Kid?
Is Kyrie Irving the NBA Sour Patch Kid? First he's sour, then he's sweet, and then he is out of Boston. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egwumike here with you guys. And we are here, so we're trying to get our minds right because we are going to be virtual fans in the crowd tonight for Game 2 of the NBA Finals. But Jhené, I feel like we are also both sitting here scratching our heads wondering how the hell the Heat climb their way back into the series. They are down 1-0, and it feels like they are sitting at the bottom of a cavern at this point, with not only the way the loss happened, because I think you and I both look at that situation and think it's closer than it looked, but with the amount of injuries they've walked out of game one with.
I promise you I will give you my brain power to that specific point, but I just want to address, considering we came in off the conversation of ranch and blue cheese, one of the suggestions that, you know, was made about us being virtual fans was eating wings to your delight. And I'm just going to enlighten people. I don't eat wings unless it's for an audience of one. Like dating, you go out, you have wings. Those are one of the things where it's like, how long have we been dating? I won't do it on the first date. So eating wings, probably not something I will do in front of the masses. Now I get back to the matchup, the Heat and the Lakers. You know, the Heat, you can't hide it. You can't mask it. They're going to be hurting without Bam Adebayo specifically. And also, we still don't know, I believe, right, of Goran Dragic's status as well. Goran Dragic led the team, you know, over the course of the postseason in points. Bam Adebayo, I remember the last series, he pretty much led almost in every category versus Boston in points, in rebounding, in field goal percentage, and in assists. So this is hard. But if there's one guy that literally can psych himself up to competing, it's Jimmy Butler. And so the way I see this, especially for the Heat, is that they've got to stick to what they've been doing. And they can't forget who they are, because I think, you know, in that first matchup, they were trying to play to the Lakers tune instead of playing to their own. That Miami Heat zone has got almost every opponent. Anthony Davis has gone off, but I think if you slow him down, and what is it? Is it going to be regression to the mean? 9 different Lakers hit threes. Do you think 9 Lakers will hit threes again? Do you think your shooters, Duncan Robinson, will go 0 for 3 and 0 points? Do you think Tyler Hero will go 6 for 18? For, you know, just a limited amount of points. Like, you just have to start sticking to who you have been, especially in this run. And I think that's the best alternative for them. And the reason I know all this is because I did it on SportsCenter earlier.
I appreciate you repurposing this content for all of us. You're Jhené Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And what you brought up there, regression, I think is exactly what I expected. And that's what makes these injuries even more difficult. You mentioned you're going to have Bam Adebayo out officially for tonight. Goran Dragic going to make that decision later on today leading up to game time. But in all of this, you had a situation that seemed prime to kind of erase a lot of that gap. The Lakers are a team that are built, and I always use LeBron James as the heart and soul of this. If LeBron James hits 3 of those 25-foot, 28-foot plus shots in a game, those like heat check style shots that we don't think of LeBron always making, it's a wrap, because you can't guard him if he's hitting that kind of range. He's too good at everything else, where we know shooting is maybe the one place you can at times poke holes in. That's this entire Lakers team. They have taken on that persona and that ethos of LeBron James. So if they're knocking down shots like that, it's game over. And then you throw the injury on top of that, Jhené, and it just seems like it's prime now for the Lakers to really steamroll this series. I had them winning in 6. I know.
Yeah, I was about to go there. Go you ahead, read. Yeah. You saw me. I was sitting back in my chair, and then I had to sit right up. Because what had happened was, during our siesta, this man that I am literally sitting across from 3,000 miles away had the nerve to, after being so consistent, Lakers in 5, switch it up, and I see Lakers in 6? What got into you?
Listen, Jimmy Butler got into Jimmy Butler bought real estate in my head. He put up a nice luxury condo facility, and he is now renting that property out to the rest of the year. I got bullied into that by this perception of Heat culture and everything that happened in the lead-up to the playoffs. I will say that injury kind of played a factor in the way that this all went out, and I think if it were not for those injuries.
So are you going to regress to the mean, or where do you stand now? Because I can't stand with someone that is wishy-washy.
Well, listen, I'm going to stick with Lakers in 6 now, because I already made that prediction in this series, but will I be surprised if they keep their foot on the gas and go out and sweep this thing? No, not really. Like, Because now what we have to Chiné, and I will say this, is we have got passive-aggressively angry LeBron in this situation, because we did have those comments from Kyrie Irving made on Kevin Durant's new podcast saying, for the first time in my career, there's someone else I trust as much to take the last shot as I did. And you have LeBron James, conveniently, the timing, talking about why it worked so well with him and Anthony Davis. Here he was.
We're not jealous of each other. I think that's the best thing. In professional sports, you have guys that join forces to, you know, you call them alpha males. That's what they call them. Two guys that's been dominant in a specific sport on their own respective teams. And they get together and they talk about, okay, how dominant they can be. And they talk about this is going to be this and that. I believe jealousy creeps in a lot. And that is the absolute contrary of what we are. We know who we are. We know what we're about, and we want the best, seriously, every single day, both on and off the floor for one another. We're not jealous of one another. And I think that you align that with respect, I think the sky's the limit.
Now, I don't know, Chiné, how exactly this lined up with the timeline of Kyrie Irving's comments, but Lord almighty, does it sound like the most underhanded shot back in his direction.
Look, that was a flex.
Woo.
That was a huge flex, because you can talk outside the bubble, but I'm in the bubble and we're doing this thing. And when I think about, you know, this is where I'm going to take it to like the next level. Like when I'm doing my analyst work, this is where I see it. I feel like the Heat might actually want Anthony Davis to kind of go off, because if AD has 35, but you limit everyone else, including LeBron James, to shooting from the outside and making sure the scorers on the perimeter, you know, like the Danny Greens, the KCPs that have been hitting, even Rondo finding the rim, you know, from deep. If you limit those guys, you can trade twos and threes. You can knock down the threes. If you shoot enough threes with Duncan Robinson, with Tyler Hero, with Jay Crowder, if you shoot and make like you've been doing sort of at a clip, I know Jay Crowder is doing a little bit better now. Maybe your better strength is knocking down the three ball, letting AD knock down twos, and then limiting the rest. There are different ways, you know, to slice it, and it'll be interesting to see what the Miami Heat do, considering they're going to be without probably one of their biggest weapons.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And ultimately, Chiné, you're right. You know what it is? You're going to have to try and major in something different, right? We know they've sprinkled in the zone at different times, and you mentioned that as a strategy there, but you're going to have to, I think, be even more extreme, because what's become clear is, and this is what happens, you are the lesser roster. You're the lesser team in, on paper going into this game. And so you know you've got to capitalize early on opportunities, because if the Lakers get a chance to get going like they did in game one, the more talented team's going to win almost 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 times in those situations. And so they've got to find some version of that early. Maybe it comes in the form of Tyler Hero again, who looked every bit of a 20-year-old making his first trip to the NBA Finals in game one. Maybe he settles in, because that's the kind of confidence as you've got banged up shooters potentially around them that you're going to need to permeate through this roster early and often in that game.
So right now the AC is on, but we'll see if they turn on the heat. We'll see.
My God, how long have you been waiting to do that? Use that one.
Just a little while.
Just a little while.
Just a little while.
We got plenty more heat puns coming right now. At least the Marlins may be giving everyone something to smile about in Major League Baseball's postseason. Again, coverage of game two begins on ESPN Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern. Chiné and I will be in the virtual crowd for that one, at Chiné, at Mike Golic Jr. Give us something to do to occupy the time in there, because we're going to be in there with like Rick Ross and Bad Bunny and all these people, and I just need to figure out how to fit in amongst all these cool people. So
yep.
Looking forward to that, certainly. But coming up next, we have got a fitting tribute for a legend in blue and gold. We will get to that next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And I enjoyed during the last break, we're sitting around here. We mentioned this is a family show all the time. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike here with you guys. And I hear during the last break, Chiney getting a phone call, and she answers, and her dad is on the other line. And all I hear is, "Dad, I'm doing the show right now." Like, what an incredible flex. But I have to say, I understand your dad not being sure, because there are very few shows that you are not appearing on in some way, shape, or form. So he's got a lot to keep track of.
It is true, but, you know, in fairness, I told him, okay, maybe, you know, during the middle of the week, you may not have to, like, tune in. You won't see me for 3 hours. And now I told him, but, like, one thing I realized in the break is that our biggest stands might be your mom and my dad. They always tune in.
There is no question. They are consuming so much ESPN Radio content. So shout out to our parents all listening right now. By the way, speaking of new content you're on, shout out to you and friend of the show, Lisa Leslie, front and center, your guys' new podcast that you guys have jumping off. Don't think I missed any of that.
Speaking of which, she's watching live too. So another third biggest fan outside of the parents, Lisa Leslie, and she is the GOAT. And I'm so excited for the new podcast. So y'all can check it out also on our socials.
Absolutely. So check that out as always. Subscribe to the Chiney.
We talked about some
podcast.
Things. Some things we can't talk about here.
Just go check it out. I was floored to hear what you guys were doing. No easy transition from that to this, but we do like to get on the pulpit every once in a while and here talk about things near and dear to us and two very important things we want to get to today in One and Done. All right, Chiney, I got to start this off. Sad news today, and there's a lot of talk going on around Notre Dame right now in the news for some less than stellar reasons after Father John Jenkins, the Notre Dame University president, tested positive for COVID-19. There's a lot being talked about on the leadership on campus there, but Notre Dame community suffered a loss today. And if you're like me and grew up going to Notre Dame football games, eventually playing in Notre Dame football games, you are familiar with this phrase at the end of every third quarter. "May I have your attention, please?" There are very few phrases in any stadium that are going to usher in as much silence and respect after that. Any coach would be envious of what followed, but that was the respect showed to former Indiana State Police Sergeant Tim McCarthy, who passed away at the age of 89 and was as big a part of the fabric of Notre Dame game day as anyone you will find. He became what was the third at that time Indiana State police officer to be a safety education officer, tasked with delivering announcements in Notre Dame Stadium to remind people not to drink and drive on their way home. It was a public safety announcement. He took over as the third back in 1960. And then he never left. For 55 years, he became the voice for that. And he was known for delivering it in a humorous manner, having different jokes through in the stadium, reminding people that if you monkey around in traffic, you might end up in a cage. That if you drive like a musician, you better C sharp or you'll be flat. All of these became things that we looked so much forward to during games, Chiney. I had coaches that would stop mid-coaching point on the sideline because they knew when that third quarter ended, we were listening for Sergeant McCarthy and waiting for that punchline that was met with an overwhelming "oh" from everybody in the stadium. It was such an unbelievable game day tradition. He's an honorary letter winner at Notre Dame. He made his last in-stadium announcement in 2015 against UMass, and he started the way that he finished. The very first joke that he told and the very last joke that he told was this one, reminding everyone to be safe on their way home. And remember, the automobile replaced the horse, but the driver should stay on the wagon. Rest assured that nobody will ever replace Sergeant Tim McCarthy. He was such a part of my childhood and my life as a Notre Dame fan and player. We all remember and will miss him very, very much. An unbelievably sad day, but an unbelievably important part of anyone's Notre Dame game day experience.
That was beautiful.
I legitimately had to, like, re-up and, like, try and not cry in that. This one was a really, really tough loss and a guy that was really important to a lot of people.
And that's the best part of sports. It's not necessarily what you see on the field, on the court. It's the people that make it memorable. And so that's beautiful.
Absolutely. What do you got for us, Chiney?
Whew. Speaking of, you know, seasons that we all remember, the NBA this season has been a season to remember. So many great storylines from the players, from Damian Lillard and Jamal Murray to Heat culture and LeBron James. you know, so close to a championship, but some of the best moments have also come from the sidelines, the coaches. And one of the most trying moments of the bubble, we heard from many voices, but one voice that was super loud and clear was Doc Rivers. As a Black man, as a head coach, not just when it came to sports, his leadership mattered. His representation mattered. His voice mattered. And what a week for Coach Rivers as he, you know, is back in the headlines again, just named the new head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, which puts us to 5 Black head coaches in the NBA out of 30 teams. Monty Williams, J.B. Bickerstaff, Lloyd Pierce, Dwayne Casey, and Doc Rivers. Now, last season, there were 10 head coaches in the NBA, so we are down by half with a couple of key vacancies left. While I absolutely appreciate, you know, the right coach getting the right job, especially when it's co-signed by players, a lot of the players we've been talking about today, like we saw in the Steve Nash hiring, I also believe that moving forward, teams and players will continue to be more intentional with making sure that these vacancies, these opportunities get afforded equally. It's no longer just a management decision. It's no longer just a superstar decision. We will be watching every decision because if not now, when?
Absolutely. And Chinee, this came up a lot, as you mentioned, during the course of the Steve Nash hire in Brooklyn with the Nets, this idea of, and we heard Adam Silver even address the idea of some version potentially of a Rooney Rule in the NBA. And it has really been, I think, good to see in a league that is rightly lauded so often for its diversity, for being a very, you know, overwhelmingly Black league in a lot of senses, to understand and address this is still an area where the league can get better.
Yeah, and I think it's nowadays we all are pushing to the standard for, you know, everything to represent the world that we live in. And especially when you're in a league that is dominated primarily by, you know, specifically when it comes to race, 80% Black men in the NBA, yet five Black coaches out of 30 when a year ago there were 10. So I think in this moment, it's not just on society and the front office, it's also on the players. While Steve Nash, I think, was a great hire and it fit the needs, and that's exactly what we want. We want talent to come first and fit, and, you know, the priorities there, I think it still needs to be worked upon. And I'm not a big fan of, like, we've all heard the so many different conversations with the Rooney Rule, but something does need to be put in place so that people will get opportunities. You know, even with the 76ers hire, it happened pretty fast, right? And while it seems like it's the right job, you know, for the right guy, it still needs to be done in a way that, you know, if it's not Doc Rivers and it's someone else, we don't look past it.
And I think you're right. That's a great example of it on the other side. Look at how much it took for Doc Rivers to be one of those names that had so many relationships around the league that he was automatically, like, you're right, this happened very quickly in this situation. And that's what it's about. How can we build more people? And it's always been the conversation with minority head coaching candidates, regardless of sports. How can we get more of those candidates in the rooms and in the circles that allow you to have relationships where, just like their white counterparts, that becomes part of the norm there, that you see those relationships have the same benefits across the board, because that's what this ends up being. We all acknowledge it's a relationship business in so many in so many ways, but to see those relationships benefit all the people equally across the board is still the charge.
Yeah, I think after the Steve Nash hiring, it sort of made a sense of urgency not to just do things just because you want to do them, but also be aware. And while it works for Brooklyn and we'll see what happens there, I think the rest of the league is probably taking notice.
You know what? That's a good point to leave on here as we put a bow on that for now. Obviously, that's still something we're going to have to watch going forward. But coming up next, a league got put on notice big time on Monday Night Football this past week. The Kansas City Chiefs reminded everybody who was still sitting on the mountaintop. Coming up next, we will talk to a former defensive stud and find out if there's any way that Bill Belichick can stop these guys. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Chinay Agumake here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it wouldn't be Friday if we weren't joined on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Louisiana's very own Marcus Spears, former LSU and Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman, joins us now. Marcus, how you doing, brother?
Is he still claiming Louisiana? You still claiming Louisiana after last week?
Man, hold on, Janae. Hold on now. I come on this show on Friday to have a good time with you and MG Junior. You don't want to go on my list. There's a lot of people on my list.
I was just checking, sir.
Okay. All right then. Now that we got that out the way, how y'all Friday going?
It's going good, Marcus, and we think it's going to get better. And we actually need your help on this one because Chinay and I are going to be virtual fans in the crowd tonight for the NBA Finals game two. And so we need, like, guidance from you. How are we supposed to act right in this? Like, I just watched Barack Obama hold court on this thing last night. How are we supposed to, like, integrate ourselves into that crowd?
Man, listen, just do y'all, right? Y'all own the biggest network on television talking about sports. That means y'all cool people and people like to listen. So y'all just be y'all selves. And if y'all need some backup, y'all hit me up. And y'all know I'll get that thing popped.
There we go. All right, we got Marcus on speed dial ready to go for tonight as we are talking to former Dallas Cowboys first-rounder Marcus Spears on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Marcus, I want to tap into that defensive background because we saw the Kansas City Chiefs tap dance all over the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night, and they're getting ready to face the Patriots this weekend. So what can Bill Belichick and that defense try and do to slow these guys down?
Well, number one, don't blitz them 70% of the damn game. I told Wink Martindale last week, don't do it. He ain't listened to me, though. I guess he wasn't watching the show, and I got some beef over him with that. But nah, man, honestly, you have to not only – I mean, you know this, MG and Sinead. Both of y'all love sports. Y'all watch the game. You have to let your offense be your defense. You got to let your special teams be your defense. You have to make sure that in all phases of the game, just like I just got off with Ryan Clark on NFL Live, and he said that, you know, and that's important, man. You have to use all of your tools. If you make this just about Bill Belichick's defense against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense, we know tie goes to the offense, man. Here's the thing, though. When you look at what Bill Belichick has done for his entire career, he's taken away what you do best. The issue in trying to defend the Chiefs is there's a lot of things that they do best. But you have to commit to saying this one thing is not going to kill us this game. And then you put out fires in other places, and no one has done it better in this league. I don't think we've seen outside of Bill Belichick. So he'll deploy multiple looks. He'll rush with four a lot of the times. He plays a base 3-4, so they'll be in that to control when the Chiefs are trying to run the football and get Clyde Edwards-Helaire going. But for the most part, MG, you know, you got to throw different looks at you. You got to make sure this offensive line is communicating every single snap. You got to make sure everybody's on the same page, and you're looking for guys to make mistakes so you can take advantage of them when those opportunities present themselves. It's a tough challenge, man. Andy Reid play sheet looked like a Waffle House menu, and it's because he has so many damn weapons he can use to build game plans off of. You can't get caught up trying to stop all of them. You have to take the majority of them away and say, look, we're going to live with this. Chinay, I'm going to relate this to basketball, right? You think about how teams was defending LeBron James. Let's let LeBron get his 40, but let's take care of everybody else. That's what you got to do against the Chiefs.
Here with the amazing, my favorite, Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, NFL Live co-host. I'm Chinay Golick Jr. We both from the dirty South, Texas, Louisiana. It's all good. Now, really quick on the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots, we know at the quarterback position, conflicting different styles, right? And we talked about Bill Belichick, but how do we see the game through, you know, Cam Newton and his lens going into this matchup?
Yes, Cam damn Newton. Listen. The RPO is one of the most devastating things you got to defend in football. It's so difficult to do it. You have to have multiple guys committed to multiple people on every individual play. And what I mean is the legit synopsis for run-pass option is I'm going to make you defend both of these things. And that's what Cam has done for this offense. He's reinvigorated Bill Belichick. I think he's given Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots, something to look forward to and be different, and they're using it. I got to give a shout-out to Josh McDaniels and how he has embraced what Cam Newton does best and said, listen, we are going to be our best offensively if you have an opportunity to do what you do best. And when you see them now playing offense, and what I think was surprising to a lot of people is how well Cam did in the passing game this past game as well. When you have both of those things working, like I just said about Mahomes, now you're defending the whole field. And that's what Cam has done. So they are going to have to be great offensively. Obviously, KC is going to make their plays. They're going to be able to take advantage of some mismatches that they have with Kelce and Tyreek Hill's speed and deploying guys in different type of formations. But Cam and Josh McDaniels have to say, we can do the same damn thing because we have this cyborg at quarterback. We talked about the New England Patriots not having weapons. Now they do because Cam makes everybody better. Today is a great game. It's a great matchup. The coaching matchup is great. You got two quarterbacks that present a million problems for defenses, and now it's about who's going to execute better and what coach can deploy the best plan.
Marcus Spears always around here making us better. You can check him out, like he mentioned, on NFL Live each and every day here at 4 Eastern on ESPN. Marcus, hey, we appreciate the time as always. Oh, go question. For it, man. What do you got?
Question. Who y'all got tonight? Lakers or the Heat?
Come on, man. Like,
come on.
You know
you
it's
know?
The Lakers tonight.
You know
man.
What it
it's
is.
The... I know it. I know it, man. You know what? I love Jimmy Butler. I love that dude. I love LeBron more, and y'all already know I'm well-documented being a LeBron fan. But damn, I feel bad for the Heat, man. At least lose with everybody. They going to lose and not have everybody, man. That's absolutely horrible. All right, I just wanted to get that out, y'all. Love y'all.
Love you, Marcus. Always a safe space right. for Marcus Spears takes around here. That is our ESPN NFL and NBA analyst, Marcus Spears, with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. So we will have Marcus Spears on speed dial for tonight as we get ready for Heat and Lakers game 2 in that series that we both think is going to go the Lakers' way. But sticking with the NFL, coming up next, one move that the NFL and the Players Association made going forward that needed to happen, and kudos to everyone involved for realizing it. That's next. It's Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and we are delighted to welcome in those of you who were just watching the Miami Marlins take down the Cubbies. Listening. That's what I meant. What did I say? Watching?
You said watching, yeah.
That's fair enough. It's a radio show. They were listening to that game on radio, and so they would come in and be listening.
Just watching with your ears. It's okay.
What is listening if not watching with your ears? Oh, my God. That actually blew my mind for a second. It is too damn Friday around here if we're getting
yes.
into that stuff. We need to get
happy weekend.
We need to get Kyrie Irving on the show if we're going to talk about the eyes, just the ears, just being the eyes of the side of the head. But that's more for later on. We welcome everybody because listen, it has been a struggle for the Miami Heat through one game of the NBA Finals as we wildly overreact to that. But the Miami Marlins move on. A big win for the Dan Le Batard Show around here. Shout out to Billy Gill getting a victory over our neighbor to the north, Sarah Spain. Noted Chicago Cubs fan in all of that one. So something to be happy down
in
Miami.
Good. Yes, this is good bounce back news. We got the news that Bam Adebayo is out for game 2, but at least you get the news of a win in a different avenue.
Exactly. So Miami, one of the stories of the quarantine baseball season, gets a dub in this one. They move on to the next round in that. But Chanay, you and I are going to look, and so much of Major League Baseball season was affected, especially early on, by the news around COVID-19, by the ways that affected the sport. in so many ways, with the NFL, we had everything that went on with the Tennessee Titans this week. Story broken by our own Diana Russini of the Tennessee Titans, their positive cases after their game against the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. That game rescheduled with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it comes with an announcement from the NFLPA who says that the daily testing will now continue indefinitely for that group. And Chiney, for you that watch the WNBA, the NBA bubble operates so successfully in a number of ways. A bubble's totally different, but that daily testing certainly, I think, gave a lot of people great peace of mind, and I think that's exactly why the NFL needs to keep doing this going forward.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that it's now extending, I don't know if you just said it, like through bye week. So the idea that, hey, you know, just because you're not playing, you still need to get tested, because this virus deals with an incubation period that can really affect the outcome of games, especially if someone comes up positive. And, you know, the crazy part here is there are positives that happen, and the ability to daily test sort of allows you to really know how quickly, and also the contact tracing, you can keep it under control. So this is something that has been necessary. You know, every time I call my sister when she was in Bradenton in the bubble, it was usually in the window when she was getting daily tested, and it just became a part of their experience. And it's something that's absolutely necessary if you want to be able to be like the WNBA and be like the NBA and be like the NHL and crown a champion.
And Chiney, I think it's also worth noting too, you mentioned one of the other ways, this continuing through bye weeks and a number of other changes that they made to the process here. Now if a player missed a test without permission from their team, the NFL Management Council and the NFLPA, he can face a $50,000 fine for a first missed test, a one-game suspension for a second, and more discipline for three or more missed tests, which could include additional suspension. Also, a player or coach who misses daily tests without authorization during that bye week is going to have five negative PCR tests, each take 24 hours apart before being allowed back into the team facility. So all of these measures being taken in order to ensure success going forward. It was a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for anyone that had maybe gotten lax, seeing the success that the NFL had managing this. And certainly we'd seen it already affect what's going on the field. The Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin talked about the effects for his team, the one who, through no fault of their own in this situation, now has to deal with a schedule disruption.
You know, I'm disappointed because we were preparing to play and we're not getting an opportunity to. But we understand the nature of this environment we're in 2020, and so we're just adjusting accordingly. But there's disappointment, no question. We've worked extremely hard at the beginning portion of this week in preparation for what we thought was an opportunity versus an undefeated team in their venue. And so you lean in on those opportunities. And so we're not getting the opportunity to do that. Instead, we're getting a bye week. So we're going to make the best of that.
Chiney Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chiney Agwumike. And Chiney, that was so refreshing to hear that perspective, because we've heard so much talk about competitive balance, college coaches withholding information in order to kind of keep that competitive advantage. And Mike Tomlin, who said here, we understand the environment we're dealing here. Essentially what I've always said, fair. Fair is a place where they judge pigs, and no one knows that more than Mike Tomlin, who sees this situation for exactly what it is.
You know, it's really interesting because, like, watching the bubbles happen in real time, you don't know what to expect until you're in it. And then you get in this comfort zone where we've seen it in a couple leagues. Oh, hey, everything's going well. We have zero negative tests. And then maybe someone leaves a bubble or someone does something that's borderline, you know, putting other people's risks, you know, at safety. And this is just the NFL's moment to realize, hey, this is not something that we can script perfectly. So everyone needs to be on point. And the best way to teach this lesson is through your pocket,
yep.
Through your pocket.
Listen, I was a rookie in training camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike Tomlin said, I don't got to worry about suspending you or anything. This is the pros, and I can lighten your wallet. And the NFL has realized that that is a very real motivator, and we know one of the big differences between college and the pros is you have all this money to worry about if you're a player. Now, that game has been rescheduled. The Steelers and Titans game is going to take place week 7 on October 25th in the 1 o'clock window, so they got some resolution on that. But, Chiney, we were just talking with Marcus Spears, and we know what game's taking place this weekend. It is the marquee matchup, Patriots and Kansas City, and they had so many memorable battles, this Mahomes Chiefs team and the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady Patriots. How are you feeling about your fantasy boo, your NFL side piece, and Cam Newton's chances going into this weekend?
Look, I feel okay just because of their revamped offense that plays to Cam Newton's strengths. Now, you know, the hardest part here is I think, you know, the Chiefs are riding high. They're riding so high. And what I'm intrigued to see in this matchup is clearly Bill Belichick takes away what you want to do. And so with their plethora of weapons, who will be taken away and who will have the opportunity to step up. And I think we'll discuss that in a little bit when we get to our nice little end zone friend zone.
Absolutely. We've got that coming up to preview the NFL weekend in just a little bit. Here was, you know, everyone lauding praise, and understandably so, and I get it, on Patrick Mahomes and this offense. But as you talk about what we look forward to this weekend and how the Patriots might go about it, the one thing you've seen consistent of teams that have given the Chiefs some modicum of trouble, because that's about all you can hope to get and then hope they make mistakes, are affecting Travis Kelce. You've seen teams that are physical with him at the line of scrimmage that find a way to disrupt him as the centerpiece of that offense have a better chance. But, Lord, Chinay, watching that Monday Night Football matchup, it just seemed like we all got reminded. And like what they do for the rest of the regular season, as long as they stay healthy, to me is almost immaterial, because they took the big stage and the best team that we thought we had
and the best defense
completely dismantled them.
It's funny because like going in, we're like, oh, snap. They've been winning from behind. Will they be able to do this against the top? It did not look like it fazed them. It was not a problem. So now we've realized they can win from behind. They can win from ahead. They can win, period.
They just, that's all they know how to do at this point right now.
And there's a song for that.
There is. I think I've heard it once or twice on a radio show that used to be on around here. So we'll check back in on that. Shout out to the Chiefs defense, by the way, for showing up. We will get to all of that and more when we hit end zone or friend zone coming up in just a little bit as we get ready on the show. But if we're talking about game plans, we got to figure out the most important one. We're going to be in the crowd tonight for the NBA Finals Game 2. How do the Heat get back in it? Next.
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.